In the name of Jesus, amen. The gospel lesson is our focus this morning. The disciple Peter was beginning to catch on. Jewish law commanded that you had to forgive someone for the same sin three times. And after that, no more. But Peter, after hearing Jesus' command to forgive, stretches it out a bit. He asks Jesus, "How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven. You can translate it either way. Is there a limit to forgiveness? Is there a point at which we, with God's permission, can say, no more? I'm done forgiving you." That's essentially what Peter wants to know. Three times was the general rule, so when he suggests seven, that's more than twice three, he thinks he's being quite gracious. But Jesus would shatter all such calculating, all such keeping track of thoughts. 70 times seven, 77 times. There is to be no limit to our forgiveness. And although that may sound extravagant, that is, after all, what we ask of God. And God gives it to us. Every bad action, every bad word spoken, every sinful thought is a sin against God. Every thought, word, action that's evil is a sin against God. Not only do we sin against God when we have wrong thoughts or wrong words or wrong actions, we sin against God when we do not have right actions, when we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, when we don't love God with our whole heart, soul, strength, and mind. And so we're sinning all the time. You've broken most, if not all, the Ten Commandments already here this morning. Now let's say, just for the sake of easy math, that you only sin 10 times an hour. If you only sin 10 times an hour, you'd practically be levitating, you'd be so holy. You know how fast bad thoughts can rush through your mind. But for easy math, 10 times an hour, you're awake 16 hours a day, that's 160 sins a day, 365 days a year. Let's say you've reached the ripe old age of 50, that's 2,920,000 sins. And that's if we're being generous. Most of us have blown by that number a long time ago. Nobody has sinned against you that much. But that's how you've sinned against God. And what do you ask God to do? You ask Him to forgive you. And He does. And out of that mercy, He asks that you would show mercy. Jesus tells the parable about a man who owed the king a great sum of money, millions of dollars. How he incurred the debt, we aren't told. But the man begs for more time to pay back what he owes. That right off the bat tells you he doesn't get how much the debt is. It's more than he could ever repay. The king, rather than simply giving him more time, simply cancels the debt, tears up the note, says, "It's forgiven, it's done, don't worry about it. Go, you are free." The servant departs, finds a fellow servant who owes him $150, grabs him around the neck, starts to choke him, demands that he pay what he owes, and when he can't pay it, has him thrown into jail. The king catches wind of this, calls the servant in and says, "I forgave you millions of dollars that you could have never repaid. Couldn't you show a little more mercy to your fellow servant who owes you $150? And the king has him thrown into jail until all of that debt can be repaid. And Jesus says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Those are harsh words. Those are startling words. With these words, Jesus doesn't simply want us to feel bad about ourselves. He intends to crush our hardened, unforgiving hearts so that His forgiveness might freely flow. Jesus would rescue us from our unforgiveness, that we would learn to have mercy on those around us. Contrary to what we think, unforgiveness hurts only the one who refuses to forgive. You know, we think if we hold a grudge against someone that we're hurting them, but actually we end up only hurting ourselves. It's kind of like punching yourself in the nose because someone insulted you. That'll teach them. Unforgiveness is a spiritual cancer. It eats away at your bones. It eats away at a marriage when husband and wife don't daily forgive each other. It eats away at relationships between parents and children when they don't practice forgiveness with one another. It destroys friendships, all because we want to not forgive. We want to hold a grudge. The word forgive means to set free, to cut loose, to dismiss. When something is forgiven, it no longer has power. When a debt is forgiven, it no longer has any claim on our money. When our sin is forgiven, it no longer has any power to condemn. Jesus says we are to forgive from the heart. And what he means by that is it is an act of the will. Forgiveness is a choice. You don't have to be in a forgiving mood to forgive. You simply need to make the choice to say, I will forgive that person for what they have done. I will set them free. Forgiveness means we will not intentionally return evil for evil, anger for anger, sin for sin. We will not do to others what they have done for us. That doesn't mean that we forget. It doesn't mean there are no consequences. The king in the parable did not forget for a moment the debt he forgave. Forgiveness is not amnesia. Peter denied our Lord 3 times. He was forgiven, but it was never forgotten. In fact, it was written down in the Bible so we could read about it again and again and again. And certainly the Apostle Peter had enough influence in the early Christian church, he could have conveniently had that episode erased from Scripture had he wanted. But that story remains, so we could read about Peter's sin, but also of our Lord's grace and forgiveness for Peter. Likewise, the Apostle Paul reminds us that he, chief of sinners, was one upon whom Christ showed his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on Jesus and receive eternal life. In a similar way, we don't necessarily forget what we forgive. How do you forget some life-changing episode of violence or betrayal? You don't. It's stuck in your head. But that doesn't mean it has to be stuck in your heart in a way that means unforgiveness. Forgiveness means we don't act on it or act on unforgiveness, or that we try to get even or try to get revenge. And it's possible. It's possible with God's help. We hear about that in our Old Testament lesson today. Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers, who really wanted him dead. They lied to their father about what had happened to him, and they thought his life is over and done with. He went through a whole series of trials and tribulations, but at one point finds himself second command in the land of Egypt. His brothers come groveling to him for food. What a great chance to get revenge. What a great chance to stick it to them. And his brothers realized it. They plead for forgiveness. They plead for mercy. And Joseph reminds them, who would have known that this is how it would all turn out? Even when the older brothers plotted to get rid of their pesky brother, God was going to use this whole ugly episode to save not only their lives, but to shape a whole nation, which would be eventually become the nation of Israel. Joseph never forgot what his brothers did. But when they knelt before him, in fear, he said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and for your children." Joseph knew he was not in the place of God. When we do not forgive, we're acting like God. We're saying, "God, you're not taking care of this, so I will. I will hold a grudge. I will seek revenge. I will see that justice is delivered because you're not doing it, God." Refusing to forgive someone then becomes a form of idolatry from which we need to be set free. And only Jesus can do that. Jesus doesn't tell us this parable to make us feel better about ourselves. Rather, he tells it to us to remind us that it is in receiving Christ's forgiveness that we learn to forgive. When I'm having trouble forgiving someone, it's not really the other person I'm having trouble with so much as I'm not believing in God's forgiveness for me. So what do I need to seek out? Not that other person would confess and repent and turn from their ways. I need to say, "Lord, remind me of how much you have forgiven me. The millions of sins that I have committed against you, for which you could hold me accountable, but which out of your grace and mercy you have forgiven. Help me, Lord, to forgive as you have forgiven me." And Jesus does that. He's at his table here once again this morning to give you his body and blood to assure you of that mercy and grace and that forgiveness of all of your sins. That you, in turn, would be able to take that forgiveness, let it flow through you, and to forgive those who have hardened your heart, who keep you up at night, who you wonder about how you can get back at them. Jesus would set you free from all of that. And he has the power to do that through his forgiveness for you. Lord Jesus, teach us to forgive and forgive our unforgiveness. And as such a prayer, our Lord says, you are forgiven. You are free. In Jesus' name, amen.